Praise the Lord. Let's turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. We've been talking about something that is very, very important. You know, you can't talk about the Word without it being important, but there's something so important about learning about prayer. And we've talked about the anomaly, the strange thing about prayer is that people oftentimes dread prayer. They dread prayer meetings. They're boring to them. People find prayer, even individual prayer, is a boring thing. A lot of people do. People pray generally when? When they what? When they need something. Or we could say probably most often spoken prayers is help! Isn't that right? When we're in trouble. We pray when we're in trouble. What would happen if we began to have confidence in the friendship of God to the point where the helps would just become almost non-existent? You wouldn't have to. You just look around and say, okay, Abba, take over. You do it, Abba. It's too big for me. I'm abiding in you. And your words are abiding in me. And I know, according to your word, that you're the one that will bring me through all troubles. You'll deliver me. You'll honor me. With long life, you'll satisfy me and show me your salvation. Well, I want to show you today that the way to pray is really the Word of God. We are so worried about what we're going to say, and really we do have a prayer book. Now the Bible says we're supposed to hide this book in our heart. Thy word have I hid in my heart. And I'm going to give you a lot of word today, and I encourage you to either write these scriptures down, because this is going to be a beginning of the way we're going to begin to pray, the way we're going to begin to talk to God. Using more word. This is dovetailed into what we're doing on Wednesday night. And if you'd been reading the book and studying the book with us, you'd be ahead already of what you need to do. You would understand some things. You would understand that your tongue is the pen of a ready writer. And that as you speak God's word, His word is written on your heart. Speaking with the tongue writes the word on the heart. And this is a very, very important part that we get. Now, we've also gone through the picture that the word is the seed, so that you're actually writing not with just ink, but you're writing with seed. And that seed is going to have life in it, but it's going to take some time to develop. But as you say it and believe it and continue to say it and believe it, eventually your believing is going to become knowing. And I want to talk to you in the way today so that you begin to do this and consider it prayer. See, the problem is we've all been led in prayer. And I've got to tell you that a lot of the prayers that we're led in are for men. You know, you don't have to go very far to hear people that pray what they've written. I can't say that that's wrong exactly, but I can tell you this, that it's tough to get something from the heart to the page and back out of the mouth in such a way that it's still coming from the heart. It becomes another mechanical move. Well, we don't want mechanical moves. I'm not down on people that read prayers, don't get me wrong. Our Jewish brethren read all kinds of prayers. And I think some of them are, you know, really getting something. I don't know if any of you listen to the Jewish rabbi that was talking about the rabbi that was killed, Gavriel, that was killed over in India just recently. But he was talking about him. They run these Chabad, and the Chabad is a center where kind of, you'd say, the non-church Jews come for safety. And they come in there. But I tell you what, I heard a lot of spirituality, and I'm not talking about the world's term. I'm talking about knowing God in this Rabbi Shalom, was his name today, as he spoke about that. That was very, very good. And, you know, so reading can be something that's from the heart, but I tell you very much that a lot of the teaching that comes from the sages is to make certain that those prayers that you read are read with meaning. And how much better to hide the word in your heart so that your tongue speaks out the works of God. Now we'll get into it eventually, the power of praying in tongues. Such a powerful, powerful thing that nobody should summarily exclude themselves from it. Everyone should desire to speak with tongues. Forbid not to speak with tongues. Paul says, I would that you all speak with tongues. Now that's the Apostle Paul that everybody pins their so much of what they believe on, because he wrote about two-thirds of the New Testament by the hand of the Holy Ghost, by the breath of the Holy Ghost. But I want you to think today of how powerful the Word is. And so as we begin to read this day, we remember that Yeshua said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. He said it first through Isaiah, in Isaiah the 56th chapter, in the 7th verse. He said, even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them what? Make them what? So what does that tell us about what? Joyful. Joyful says joyful. Does anybody have any problem knowing what joyful would look like? Where? In a house of prayer. Joyful in my house of prayer. One of the things that I could describe to you in most of the prayer meetings I've been in wasn't joy. Wasn't joy. But he says, I want him to be joyful in my house of prayer. And the bottom part of that verse says, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. Exodus 25:22, when he describes meeting with us. Remember, he was meeting with the high priest is what he described it for. But what happened to the high priesthood now? Who's a priest? Could I see the hands of any Cohens in this place today? Any priests? Yeah, you're priests. Cohens. Why? Because you can go to the holy place and there commune with God. He said, there I'll meet with thee and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat. I'll commune. Devar, I'll speak with you. I'll have words with you. We'll commune together. We'll have fellowship. There'll be an acting out of our friendship. That's what communion is. Not some religious word. Joy-filled communion with God. Psalm 104:34 says, my meditation, my siach, my prayer, my talk of Him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High. You know, if you read the Psalms and just allow yourself to meditate on them, you can just imagine the psalmists. You can see the Psalms of David. David was just so often just filled with joy as he prayed with God, prayed to God, talked to Him. He'd sing his praises. And by the way, don't count yourself out as a singer. Begin to sing to the Lord. You'll be surprised. Start singing Him love songs. That's right. Did any of you husbands sing love songs to your wives? Any of you do that? Does he sing love songs to you, Sandy? He didn't? Maybe you ought to teach him a couple, huh?
Not a good
idea. We were walking the other day, and I looked around at Henrietta. We were walking around the lake, and I said, when my sugar walks down the street, all the little birdies go tweet, tweet, tweet. And in the night when the sun goes down, it's never dark when she's around. You say, well, I'd be embarrassed to do that. Well, you know, you can be, or you can say, hey, you know what? I really do mean it. I mean every word of that. She's so adorable, I'll say this. When she kisses me, I sure stay kissed. Some of you don't know that song, but I used to sing songs to her when we were going together. If you were the only girl in the world and I were the only boy. And you know, there's something special about that. And so I carry that on over to the Lord. I worship you, oh God. I just do it. Sometimes most of my prayer time I might be singing. Just might be singing, but I'm still talking to him. You need to think about these things. Yeshua said, after this manner, Matthew 6:9, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father. Well, we, you know, it's unfortunate in a way that that was translated into English. Because the word's not our Father, it's Avinu. Abba is Daddy. Daddy God. You know, my uncles called their dad Daddy until he died. And they were grown men, they'd still call him Daddy. And there was something tender about that. I think that's a tender thing. I mean, I always called my daddy Dad. But you know, how about calling God Daddy? Our Daddy. Our Daddy. See, do you see the communion just in what he says there? If you see that in that Hebrew way of thinking when they say Abba. Abba. Oh, Abba. I love you, Abba. Our Father in heaven. Now that tells you that we're talking about God, doesn't it? But he's still something special. Hallowed. Say hallowed. Hallowed be thy name. We told you that in the Kaddish it's Yitgadal v'yitkadesh Shemei Rabbah. Your holy name is so great and sanctified, magnified. That's what that hallowed is all about. It's part of what Yeshua grew up with when he was a little boy, learning these prayers and these sayings. Magnified and sanctified your name. We need to begin to think about that, his name. Because that's really the beginning part of prayer. And what that's for is to cause you to begin to know him. Say, know him. Know him. To begin to know him. Now, I didn't say know about him. And see, that's the problem. Too many times when we talk about knowing, we think about learning something that's about. But there are, how many of you know there's things about knowing someone that you can't describe? You can't describe them with words. There's things about that you know. You know about somebody that you're close to, that, you know, you just know things about them. Colleen used to be able to tell from the back of me whether I was serious or joking. And I guess all she saw was the side of my face. But they'd be in the car and the kids would be joking around and we'd be joking for a while. And pretty soon I'd say, okay, that's enough. And they'd think I was just still kidding or something. So they'd go ahead and I'd hear Colleen say, nope, he's serious now. Cut it out. He means it. Don't go any further. And she was right. She could do it. Well, she got to know me. You understand what I'm saying? You need to know the face of your Father. You need to know his face. You need to know not just about him, you need to know him. You need to know him. Hallowed be thy name. To know him. David in Psalm 103 says, bless Yahweh, O my soul. We talked about that. He's commanding his soulish nature, his mind, his will, his emotion, the place where his memory dwells. He's commanding his emotions to get into the blessing of Yahweh. Why? Well, he knew that Yahweh likes that. Our God likes to be praised. That's part of knowing him. Oh, he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Yikadash Shemei. Holy name. Bless that name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Again, how do we forget things? Two ways. We forget when we have a memory lapse, but most memory lapses are caused by something. And what is it? Neglect or lack of attention. We fail to put attention. This is what I'm talking to you about. If you can get this, if you can catch this, this is what prayer is more than anything else, is putting our attention not just on his promises, not just on his blessings, but upon him. The source of these things, upon him, putting myself in a place where I am focusing. I become God inside conscious. When? All the time. This is what that's what prayer is about. It's to change me. Prayer doesn't change God. God doesn't change because you pray. He changes not. I don't convince Him about things by praying real hard. Did you know there's no place in the Bible that says pray real hard? It says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Or one that Amplified, I think, says makes much power available. We need to learn to use these things. He says, don't forget my benefits. And then he enumerates some of them. The third verse says, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. And who healeth all thy diseases. Verse 4 says, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Verse 5, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. His benefits. Well, he enumerates iniquities, diseases, forgiveness and healing. Redemption of your entire life from destruction. That'd be going to heaven, right? He talks about the loving kindness and tender mercies of God that surround us. His hesed and His racham. And then he talks about the things we need. He gives us good things. Say good things. God's good all the time and He gives us good things. Good things. And renewal. Youth renewal. That's right. And what it, I mean, you think about all those things. Those are the benefits of God. Now, we read about them. We know we're supposed to have them. How do I keep those things before me and remember them? How am I going to remember those? Well, I want to tell you something. I don't have to read that anymore to quote it. I can quote that. Not only can I quote it, but I can say, I bless you. Oh, Lord, I bless you. With my soul, I'm blessing you. I'm making a choice right now. That's what you have to do to use your soul. Your soul has to make a choice. If I'm going to bless God, it's not the natural thing to do. It's the spiritual thing to do. So I have to make a choice to say, I bless you. I bless you, God. I will not forget your benefits. I remember your benefits today. You forgive all of my iniquity. All of my iniquities are forgiven. You heal all my diseases. I'm healed from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. Amen? You've redeemed me from hell. I'm not fearful anymore. I'm not afraid. Hallelujah. You know, that's one of the things people are afraid of. In fact, Hebrews says that the thing that holds people bondage all their life is the fear of death. The Bible says here that God's redeemed us from that. Redeemed your life from the pit. He crowns me. He crowns me with loving kindness, with His hesed, His love, His mercy, His grace. He crowns me with all of that. I mean, it's just like I'm wearing it. You see, when you're crowned with it, you're wearing it, right? He satisfies my mouth with good things. All of my needs are supplied. Everything He does is good. He does all things well. You understand where that's coming from? He satisfies my mouth with good things. And He renews my youth. Like the eagle. See, you just personalize it. And begin to thank Him for it. Oh, thank you for that, God. Man, that's so good. My youth is being renewed. 64 going on 65, I'm getting better. Getting stronger. My vitality's good. And then if something starts to attack me and I say, and all of my joints are free and easy, I talk to them. They're healed by the stripes of Yeshua. He took my infirmities and bore my sickness. Do you see how right there I'm doing some things? You know, you're hearing me, but I'm speaking it before the Lord. Who's hearing it? My ears? Hear it right down there. It's been written on the inside. I remember it all the time. So when I feel a pain in my finger when I bend it, instead of saying, oh boy, here it comes, old age. Getting old. I don't say that. I say, my youth is being renewed like the eagle. Amen? I'm getting stronger. All of my joints are well lubricated. Amen? They got just the right amount of everything in them. And my blood My blood's just perfect. You understand how you begin to talk like that? Now see, a lot of people would say, well, that's not praying. Yes, that's praying. Why? Because I am speaking out what the Word says is mine. I'm saying it. And I spend times doing things like that, that if you heard me, you might not think, well, he's praying or something like that. Now, there's another part of prayer that's just purely praise. And that's what we're going to get in here today. You see, we know Yahweh God. That means something. Yahweh. And so we begin to speak out what Yahweh means and who He is. We begin to say that with our mouths. We meditate on it. How do you meditate? What do you look like when you meditate? Can I see anybody demonstrate meditation to me? See, what do you think? Huh? All right, good. Well, thinking, of course, is part of it, but literally, when you begin to meditate, your mouth is open. Meditating is, and it may not be for anyone else to hear. We've been learning that downstairs. Some of our confessions aren't for other people right away, are they, Bob? We got to say them for us. If you start saying them to other people, they're going to think you're nuts. In fact, they'll accuse you of lying. Amen? But we're not lying. We're speaking the Word of God. Saying what the Word says about us. Saying what the Word says about God. And that's what I want to talk to you right now about. Yahweh is God. That you find it as Lord in your Bible. Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. He's the God of Israel. And 2 Chronicles 6:14 says, O God, Lord God of Israel, there's no God like you in the earth. There's no God like you in the heavens or in the earth, which keep covenant and shows mercy unto His people that walk before you with all your hearts. Well, see, there's some attributes of Yahweh there in that verse. What are they? What attributes do you see of Yahweh? Well, you know where He lives, right? Well, actually, you just know that there's no one like Him. But what does it say about Him? What does He do? He keeps covenant. Say, He's covenant keeping.
He's covenant
keeping. Isn't He? He's a covenant keeping God. What else? What does He do besides keep covenant? He what? That's right. He shows chesed unto His children, His servants, who walk before Him with all their hearts. I think anytime you see the all their hearts thing, you can realize that someone's getting into communion with God. If you're doing it with all your hearts, you're getting into communion. See, that's what it's talking about. But the main thing is, we see that He keeps covenant. Now, covenant is specific and written down. Why does He need to show mercy too? He's going to keep His part of it, but we don't keep our part of it, right? And so He shows mercy unto us, or hesed, love, loving kindness unto us. Amen? So that's what we need to remember. Then we've read in Psalm 145, verses 8 and 9, that the Lord is gracious. See, here's some more description of what He's like. He's gracious. We said that means disposed to show favor. He's full of compassion. He has bowels of mercy. He's slow to anger. We see pictures of Yahweh. He's of great mercy. And then the next verse says, the Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all of His works. Well, do you see that beginning to describe who Yahweh is? See, that's what we need to know. We need those descriptives of Him so that we know, first of all, we know about what He's like. But as we meditate those things, what happens? We begin to know Him. And we begin to know those attributes as true in Him. We begin to see them. We begin to look for them. Say, look for them. See, that's one of the problems of people. If you're not looking for the mercy of God, you're not apt to find it. Did you know that? You need to look for His tender mercies. You need to expect the mercy of God. You need to expect Him to be good. Some people expect God to be bad. They expect God's going to smite them. He smited people in the Bible. They say, He'll probably smite me. You know? Have you ever heard somebody say something and say, hope a lightning bolt doesn't get me? Well, that's what they're expecting of God. I don't expect that of God. I don't expect to be struck dead, do you? No, because He's good to all. I love Him. So in the context of communion with God, thinking about communing with Him, I want you to begin to think about meditating as a part of that prayer. Meditate, muttering, saying. You're thinking, but you're also speaking. You're speaking those things. You're coming out with things. Meditating. You're muttering. You're speaking His revealed name. That's what hallowed be thy name means. When Yeshua taught this prayer, He wasn't saying pray this prayer. He was saying, now take hallowed be thy name and expand on it. Think about what you know about the name of God. And see, you need to write some of these things down so that you can begin to hide them in your heart. What is His name? Well, His name is Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. And that means that I am, but it also means I was. I am and I will be. So that speaks of His eternity. We know that Yahweh is an eternal God. He never changes. He's always the same. But He'll go on forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And every man or woman He created will also go on forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever someplace. Because their spirits were made in His likeness and in His image, and they will continue because they cannot cease to exist. Do you understand that? So they're either going to be in heaven with Him, or they're going to be in Gehenna, the lake of fire, with the devil and his angels. So we know that about God. We know He's eternal. He's an eternal God. He's the maker of heaven and earth. This is things that the Bible reveals to us about Yahweh. And you know, as I told you last week, the Jews say that His name is ineffable. That's too overwhelming to be expressed. Well, I think it is too overwhelming to be expressed, but I don't think it's that He meant for us not to say it. I think that when you say it, there's more to Him than you're ever going to get. Maybe ever. Maybe throughout eternity. Probably not, because it says, we will know as we are known. So probably once we are changed, we'll be able to fully comprehend Him. But I want you to know, you know, what we know of Him now, and we know a lot of good about God. But that, it doesn't scratch the surface to what we're going to know. You understand? There's a wonderful, wonderful name that we're learning. Yahweh means the eternal, covenant-keeping, grace-giving, merciful, loving Abba. Now that gives you a quick and partial description. But I believe it would work for us to use that as our reference when we think, hallowed be thy name. Thy name. Thy name. So today I want to start with 8 compound covenantal redemptive names that Yahweh has revealed to us. Covenantal redemptive names. And we know those names. We've actually looked at them before. They are Yahweh Tzidkenu, Yahweh Mekadesh, Yahweh Shama, Yahweh Shalom, Yahweh Rafaka, or Rafa, Yahweh Yira, Yahweh Nisi, and Yahweh Rohi. Tzidkenu means my righteousness, or our righteousness. Mekadesh means who sanctifies. Shama means He's present. He's there. He's everywhere. Shalom, you know what that means. Peace. Shalom. I really prefer to use shalom to define it even, because it means more than peace. Rapha is a healer or healing. Yireh means to see or provide. Nisi is our banner, or He's our refuge. And Rohi is our shepherd. So today, without trying to figure out that we could pray all of those names today, I want to give you why He's Tzidkenu. Yahweh Tzidkenu, our righteousness. How many of you know that righteousness is it's kind of like what Bob was saying about walking by faith. And he's absolutely right. The churches have taught us to get saved. And what does saved do but get us into position to begin to act in faith? You have to use faith to get saved that was given to you, but then the potential is there for us to live our lives in faith and to walk in faith. That's what we haven't taught well. That's what we're teaching now. That's what this prayer course is about here. This is teaching us to learn to walk. Say walk. To walk in faith. And to understand. Well, righteousness is a part of what faith is about. The very first thing that we receive from God when we get born again by faith is righteousness. We become righteous. Righteous. And what does righteous mean? Right standing. It's a synonym that's used in King James and most other Bibles is justified. Justified. We become justified. And it doesn't mean justified to sin. It means justified from sin. Right? We're justified from those things which what's bound us. And the trick is how it happens. That's what God had to do that was so powerful to make it happen. Remember now, we're talking about not forgetting His benefits. And what was the first benefit we read today? Who forgives my iniquities? Yahweh, Tzidkenu, my righteousness. My righteousness, or our righteousness. Yahweh, our righteousness. This is speaking of redemption from sin. And speaks unto salvation. Redemption from sin unto salvation. The name is first found in, it's only found in Jeremiah, well actually it's found in Jeremiah twice. Jeremiah 23:6 though, it says, in his days Judah shall be saved and Israel shall dwell safely, and this is his name whereby he shall be called Yahweh Tzidkenu. Now what does it say up there? The Lord, our righteousness. And that is, that whole capital area is Yahweh Tzidkenu in the Hebrew. That's the name we're looking at today. It's a compound name that is redemptive. It's a part of the covenant. Now, what do we know about covenant? What do they always cut in? Blood. Say blood. Blood is necessary. Without the blood, there's no redemption. There's no forgiveness. There's no atonement. The blood is required. The blood is required for anything that is a covenant redemptive right. Isn't that right? That's right. So if we look at some scriptures about this, maybe we can begin to realize that righteousness is an actual force in our lives. A force. A person that knows his righteousness can't be defeated. If you really know your righteousness, you can't be defeated. Why? Because you know you stand right with God. And if I stand right with God, I know He'll deliver me. I know that everything else that is a benefit will be mine when I stand in right standing with Yahweh God. And so as we look at these scriptures and begin to take them, each one of them will add a piece to what we understand about this force of righteousness so that we can begin to not just learn them or memorize them, but say embrace. Say it, embrace. I'm going to embrace the Word of God today. I'm going to embrace it. Are you with me? Let's embrace it. Say, I will embrace your Word, O Lord. Romans 3:25 says, whom God has set apart to be a propitiation. He has set forth, I'm sorry, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation. And we talked about propitiation before. Propitiation is that same word for kapora, the mercy seat. That's what that means when you see that. It's the Greek word that, which was, just escaped me. But it means kapora. It means mercy seat. The word for that. I can't remember what it is right now. It's gone. But anyhow, to be a propitiation through faith in what? In His blood. In His blood. In His blood. To declare His what? His righteousness. So you see the connection. There can't be righteousness without the blood. The blood being shed. This part, this right that we have to be righteous, came through the blood of Yeshua. Temporarily, God brought the people into right standing every year until Yeshua came with the blood of bulls and goats, didn't He? The chatat, the sin offering. Actually, there was more to it than just the chatat, but that was certainly a big one, the sin offering, wasn't it? Had to be offered once a year. Of course, it was offered many more times than that, but that once per year, on the Day of Atonement, this was done. It says, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. So there's the first scripture I want you to get down. That God has become a propitiation. He set forth Yeshua as a kapora, the mercy seat, through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness. And because He is righteous, guess what? We're in Him. We'll get into that. Let's go on to the next verse. 1 Corinthians 1:30. But of Him are ye in, say in. In. In shows what? What does in show? We got to in on something. What does that show? Position. Position. In shows position. And so here we see our position. But of Him are ye in, positioned in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. God, through Jesus Christ, is made unto us, and this is again through His blood, it isn't expressed here, but we know it's true. He's made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And then we read in Colossians 1:4, speaking about redemption, in whom, in, what's that show? Physician. In whom we have redemption through His blood. Righteousness is about His blood, isn't it? Through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. We're talking about blood covenant here. We're speaking of the blood covenant of God. 1 Peter 2:24, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness. Now we know the back part of that verse very well, by whose stripes you're healed. But I want you to stress the first part this morning. It says, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness. So we're talking about a covenant position that we have. And anytime you see these words, remember this. When you read the Bible and you see in Him, in Christ, or in the Messiah, in whom, when it's talking about Him, you see these words. Those are always words that describe something about the covenant. Those are covenant words. And when those words are being spoken, you can look for something that is a covenant right. Say, I have covenant rights. Amen. Covenant rights. We have covenant rights. Covenant position in the Messiah. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, in the Messiah, what is he? He's a new creation. Say new. New. New creation. You used to be an old creation, but now you're a new creation in Him. What happens when we're a new creation? Old things pass away. All things become new. Do you begin to see that there's a force in righteousness? I mean, that this is a mighty force. When you're righteous, when you're set apart in Him, if you're in Him, that's where your righteousness comes from. Remember, 3:25 said that through the faith in His blood, God declared the righteousness of Jesus. But now we're talking about us being in Him, in His righteousness. That's imputed to us, isn't it? Say imputed. What does imputed mean? Given. Given. Right. Given. You know, in the book of life, this is exactly what God has done. When He put your name over there, He is imputing righteousness unto you. What did you do to get there? Well, let's go on and see if we can understand a little bit more about this. See, we're talking about our covenant position. The Bible says in the 17th verse again, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, or new creation is really a better word. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Jump down to the 21st verse. It says, for He hath, and see, this is all part of the same thought, for He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God, what? In our position our covenant position in Him. That's where our righteousness comes from. I'm righteous. Remember, we're talking about Yahweh Tsidkenu, the Lord, our righteousness. He is our righteousness. We're in Him. And our righteousness is in Him who knew no sin. Because He was made to be sin and suffered the penalty of sin, which is death, even the death on the cross, shed His blood for the remission of sins. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. So He shed His blood for us. So it said, He made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Now I want you to say this. I am righteous in Him. I am the righteousness of God in the Messiah. And I want you to get on to saying that. If you don't get anything else that you're saying today, I want you to begin to say that. Speak that. That part of your prayer time. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. He is Yahweh Tsidkenu. He is my righteousness. I am the righteousness of God in Him. Now, we're a Torah teaching church, so what about Torah? What about Torah? Well, let me give you Torah here. And you're going to say, boy, Pastor, you're making it hard on yourself this morning, bringing this up right now. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as He hath commanded us. Well, what does that say? That says that keeping Torah will bring righteousness. Doesn't it? Am I right, reading something into that? It shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments. Do you believe it? Well, yes. I believe it. I can't deny it. It's the Word of God. Now let me ask you, did you? Have you? Can you? Who did? Yeshua did. And so we read all of these things about Yeshua, knowing that righteousness is in Him. Because He's the only one that it could be written about who knew no sin. Sin is the transgression of Torah. He never transgressed Torah. You say, how did He do it? He was in a human body just like we are, but He did it. Because His seed was not the seed of Abraham. It was incorruptible seed, the seed of the Father. But He did it. But He doesn't say it was easy. It said He was tempted in all points like as we, and yet without sin. It wasn't easy. In fact, it said in the days of His suffering, I can't remember exactly all of it, but it talks about the hardness and the difficulty. But He did it. Praise God. And so here we have this. None of us can say, well, we've observed all these things. And you see, what we'd like to do is go back and say, well, I'll start anew. Well, you can't. You can't just start anew, start over again. Well, I messed up yesterday, I'm going to start new today. Can't do that as far as righteousness goes. Say, as far as righteousness. See, you've got to understand that you can try, but you're not going to make yourself righteous because of it. Do you understand? Why? James said, if one point of the law be broken, it's all broken. As far as you were concerned, when you blew it the first time, it was blown. And you were lost. You were old, worn out, and headed for hell. But our righteousness, Yeshua, our righteousness, Yeshua. Whenever we say our righteousness, we know who we're talking about, don't we? We're talking about Yeshua, unless it specifically tells us. Who has observed all the commandments? Only Yeshua. Doesn't say the commandments aren't good. Obviously, they're excellent. The commandments are the way to go. The Torah is the way, because it's good. He who does these things will be righteous. Yeshua did it, though. He's the only one. So He's the only one that did it. In fact, in Isaiah 64:6, it said, but we are all as an unclean thing. You unclean thing? You're an unclean thing. And all our righteousnesses are as what? Filthy rags. filthy rags. That's not talking about grease rags. That's talking about seeping leprous sores, minstrous rags, filth. That's what it's talking about. That's what our righteousness is like. Everything that I have attempted to do to salvage when I did wrong, that's what I come up with. And so what do I know? Without Yeshua, I'd be nothing. It says it's as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf. And our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. The Bible says there's none righteous. No, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely through His grace, through the redemption which is in Messiah Yeshua. Wow. So then the Scripture goes ahead and explains it to us. In Romans 3:21 it says, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested." Without Torah is manifested. You can't do it with Torah anymore. It was impossible when you broke it. And the Bible said you'd never be able to keep it. Adam didn't keep it. You can't keep it. Nobody can keep it. But the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by Torah and the prophets. They talked about it before, didn't they? That Yeshua is coming to redeem us. It's all been spoken of. Verse 22 says, "Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ." So what do we know about righteousness? Tell me some of the things you've learned today about righteousness. Righteousness is what? Right standing with God. It's being justified. What else is it? It's only of what? Go ahead. Only attained by faith in Jesus. There's no other way. No other way that we can be saved. None other name under heaven whereby men must be saved. But righteousness is a tremendous force, because if any man's in Him, he's a new creation. I mean, there's tremendous power available in us, isn't it? Think about it. The force of righteousness. To be right. That's when the Bible talks about, "Let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace." Why can you come boldly before the throne of grace? In your old seeping rags? No. In the white linen of righteousness. Knowing that all my sins are forgiven. That everything that I've done wrong is gone and covered. Amen? He's my righteousness. He's my righteousness. You need to get these scriptures down and begin to think about them. The righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all that believe. For there's no difference. See, the Bible says this was witnessed by the law. The law would be the first five books of the Bible. Where was it witnessed? Genesis 15:6. What does that say? What does it say? Who is this talking about? Read it with me. "And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness." Is it witnessed by the law? Yes. Is it witnessed by the prophets? Yes. It says there's none righteous, no, not one, but they have laid on him the iniquity of us all. It's witnessed there. Righteousness comes through believing. Righteousness comes through trust. Through faith. It must be imputed. You can't get it any other way. God just has to count it over to your side of the account. You know about debits and credits? Debits and credits are kind of confusing, because it depends on which kind of an account you're talking about, doesn't it? Whether it's good or bad. But in your checking account, a debit takes out, doesn't it? And a credit puts in. Isn't that right? When you write a check, it's a debit. Well, what God keeps doing is crediting, right? He's given us credit. Is that right, Dan?
Yeah.
We got that figured out?
He gives us credit.
He gives us credit. That's right. And where does it come from? It comes through believing, through trusting. Through trusting. And He puts that on that side of our account. That's called the Lamb's Book of Life. Our names written down. Righteous. Righteous. The devil can come all day making accusations. God said, You're talking to the wrong person, devil. Look here, I got his name in the Lamb's Book of Life. His name's right here. His name's written down. You'll never have him. You'll never have him. Romans 4:6 says, "It even as David described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works." Does that mean there's no works involved? Not in your righteousness. Not in your righteousness. Romans 8 verse 4 says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Well, that's what we're looking for, isn't it? The righteousness of God being fulfilled in us who do what? Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, what's the walk going to look like when you're walking by the Spirit? In relationship to Torah, what is your walk going to look like when you're walking by the Spirit? You see, the key here is where the cart is and where the horse is. Once you're saved, you've opened up a force of righteousness where you can begin to walk by the Spirit. Where you can begin to walk after the teachings of the law. But you can't do it to get saved. Everybody see that? See the force of righteousness? The power of righteousness? You're now a new creation. You can walk in the Spirit. That's what he says. For those that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Walking after the Spirit is the key. Walking after the Spirit of God. How do you do that walk? What's it look like? Well, it looks like walking by faith, doesn't it? And what is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Is that right? Faith is trusting. Faith is now, believing, knowing. But where do we get it? Where'd you get your faith? From the Word. Is the Torah Word? Yeah, as a matter of fact, remember how we always say it? From here to here, Torah. By the Word. We walk by the Word. Do we get righteous by doing it? No. But once we do it, then the righteousness of God is fulfilled in us who walk. Not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's a walk in faith, isn't it? The force of righteousness. So no matter what comes at you, you're ready. You're capable when you have the force of righteousness. Ephesians 6:14 says, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." What's a breastplate? When you think about armor, how do you kind of think about that in relationship to the armor? The primary piece. It has to be there first, doesn't it? You get that breastplate on, or the rest of it doesn't fit right. Everything else interlocks with the breastplate of righteousness. Yahweh Tzidkenu, He is our righteousness. So who is Yahweh Tzidkenu? We know that. Yahweh Tzidkenu. It's Yeshua. And what does Yeshua's name mean? Salvation. Salvation. So I'm putting on the breastplate. Here it calls it the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness. What's it cover? What's the breastplate cover? Well, physically, what does it cover? It covers the cardiac organ, right? The heart. But what does it cover spiritually? The spiritual heart. The inmost being. The inner man. Covered. Protected. The breastplate of righteousness. In 2 Corinthians 6:4, but says, "But in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses." We're approving ourselves as ministers of God. This goes through a whole list, but I want you to see what goes on in verse 7. We approve ourselves as ministers of God in all of these things, but it says, "By the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left." So you see what happens as we begin to speak these things? Just go with me for a couple of minutes here. We'll finish up with this. I just want you to just pray with me and begin to just meditate with me on the Word of God. Oh, I thank you, Father. You are Yahweh God. You are the maker of heaven and earth. You are eternal. You are grace-giving. You are merciful. You're slow to anger. You're a loving God. You're a loving God. And you have manifested to us your righteousness. Yahweh Tsid Kenu, I thank you that you are my righteousness. I stand today righteous in you, God. I'm so thankful that I'm righteous. I'm so thankful that because you've made me righteous through the blood of Yeshua and the covenant of God, I can walk into the Holy of Holies, come boldly before the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You are Yahweh Tsid Kenu. Holy is your name, O God. Your great name is to be praised. I honor you. I bless and magnify you. You made Yeshua to be sin for me who knew no sin, that I might be made the righteousness of God in him. I couldn't make myself righteous, Father. Every attempt that I had at righteousness was as filthy rags, but I thank you today that you made a way of righteousness through Yeshua, and I enter in through his shed blood into this covenant of peace. I come before you today to honor you and to magnify you, Yahweh Tsid Kenu, for you have given me right standing with you. Oh, I stand in your presence today knowing that anything that I ask, you hear me, because I ask in the name of Yeshua, who is my righteousness. I praise you today and thank you, Father, for the blessings of God. I bless you and praise you. Yahweh Tsid Kenu, holy is your name. Do you get an idea how you might come to God that way and how all you're doing as you do that is speaking out his what he's already said? And it will, I was going to say it'll morph. It's going to change. There's going to be a metamorphosis as you do it. You're going to change in your understanding of him. And then other scriptures are going to begin to find their way into that prayer. You're going to speak over it. You're going to thank God for it. You see, it's just a little demonstration. It's nothing like I might do by myself. Some days that might be quite brief, just thanking God that I'm righteous. But some days I get into it, and I mean to tell you, I just speak of His righteousness and how it's become my righteousness because I'm in Him and I'm a new creation in Him. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. You see, what I'm doing is I'm speaking God's Word, but let's stop for a minute and see what God sees it as. Who spoke that Word? God spoke that Word. And so when I open my mouth and begin to speak that Word, what is really happening? Is it me speaking? No, God speaking from up out of my spirit. He's bringing forth His Word to me. I'm hearing it again with my ears. What happens to me when I hear that? Faith. That's what happens. Faith. Trust. I believe. And every time I say it, it does something more. It does something new. Just this morning, as we've said it here together. But you see, I've said it and you haven't said it. So you heard my voice saying it and it, you say, oh, that sounds pretty good. You know, but how much better if you begin to plug into that? And you may not be able to chain them together like that right now, but start. Start. Just start. Next week I'll talk to you about our sanctification. Makadosh. We're going to find out why sanctification is such a powerful thing. It really is. You see, it's all linked with what though? That breastplate of righteousness. Without the breastplate, all the rest of our armor would fall off. Everything else is hooked to the breastplate, with the possible exception of the helmet of salvation, and the shield of faith. But there's still connection. There's connection. And they come in order. They come in order. And so I just want you to see that as we talk about it. And remember that when you speak God's Word, you're really hearing Him talking to you in a personal way. Personally, he's speaking to you. I'm saying his word, but who said the word? He said the word. Remember, you know, you don't have to get thinking, well, I had the idea to do it. He had the idea to give his word through a donkey one time. Didn't he? You can just be his mouthpiece. That's all a prophet is. Someone that just speaks the words of God. Maybe you could be a prophet to yourself. Speaking his word to you. Speaking his word, and Charles Capp says it, and I can't argue with it. Who do you believe more than you? When you hear you talk, you believe what you say, don't you? Unless you know you're deceiving. But if we say something, we believe it. So that's why you've got to get out of this silent, quiet, subdued. I'm talking voice. Voice. And for those that are especially shy and timid about doing it, let me just encourage you, get alone and get noisy. Get noisy. It'll help you. It'll help you. You say, well, I enjoy those quiet times. Well, there's a place for those too. We'll talk about that later. There's a place after you've done this that you just shut up and sit down and listen. Amen? There's a place for speaking in tongues. All of those things fit in. That's a major part of my prayer, is speaking in other tongues. I'll go in and out of tongues, and I personally believe this, because the Word of God teaches it. I believe I speak in tongues for a while, and then all of a sudden, up out of my spirit begins to come English. Those are the things I'm praying about. If I don't do it that way, well, I find that my prayer life is somewhat inhibited, held back. So faith comes through hearing and hearing. But have you ever thought that as you pray like this, revelation then will grow as we commune with Him? It'll get more and more and more. What do you know about righteousness today? Well, you know it's right standing with God. You know that. And you know that it has to be imputed unto you because you can't do it yourself. And you know that in Him you are righteous. Don't you know that? Now, hallowed be Thy name, Yahweh Tsidkenu. I thank You for that. I bless You for that. That's why Yeshua was teaching this prayer. And that's, I believe, what he practiced was to speak God's Word before the Father. I believe that. I believe that if you'd have heard Him pray, that's the way He would have prayed. When you read the 17th chapter and He's interceding for us, what's He doing? He's bringing forth scriptural truths in His prayer for us. That's what He's doing. It's time. What is it? Seed, time, and then harvest. Let's plug that into prayer too. Start planting the seeds the way I demonstrated today, the way we've talked about it today. It's not hard. If you haven't written down all of these scriptures and you want to write down some more of them, you can do it with your concordance. If you want, you can borrow these notes, and there's a lot of them here. I can give any of you that want these notes. There's nothing in them except scriptures primarily. But I think you'll see that your prayer life is going to become delightful. Say delightful. The Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will do what?
Desires.
The desires of your heart. I think that's the way to pray, don't you? Amen. Let's stand together. Father, this morning we've been so thankful and so privileged to just be able to slowly and deliberately and line upon line, take these words and speak them. I thank You for every verse of Scripture that we've seen today. I thank You for the power that's in the Word of God and for the force of righteousness. I pray today that every person here will recognize themselves as the righteousness of God in Christ. That every person who hears these tapes or CDs will see themselves as righteous in Christ, if they have made that commitment to Him, if they're born again, if they have received Him as their personal Lord and Savior, if they have confessed Him with their mouth and believed in their heart that God hath raised Yeshua from the dead, the Scripture says they shall be saved. If they've done that, then Father, I pray that for the miracle that they will see themselves righteous, that they'll recognize that the God who dwells on the inside of them brings His force of righteousness to live in them, that they, living in Him and He in them, that they are one with the things of God. Righteousness, we thank You for it, Father. We praise You for it in the name of Yeshua. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up the light of His countenance upon you and give you shalom in the name of Yeshua. And everyone said, Amen. Amen.